All right. Now, this is the last chapter for this year. The last chapter of Deuteronomy. Chapter 34. And it's only 12 verses. But in these 12 verses, you find everything concluded. In these 12 small verses, everything is set. And hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So, if anything goes wrong with America, it will be the church's fault. Did you hear what I just said? Mm-hmm. It's not the world's fault. It's not, you know, Obama or Hillary or whoever else, Biden. These people are not at all in God's program. But if they win, you lose. But if we win, they win. Did you hear what I just said? Now I'm speaking as a prophet. And but if you don't pray to the Lord to go in before us, you won't cross the Jordan. You'll never get across the Jordan. And you won't go into the promised land. So the land of promise is actually not on earth. Canaan is a shadow. Canaan is a shadow. And so the land of Canaan is just a small piece of land today. Israel is 1/8 of the promised land. 1/8. So it doesn't go all the way to the Mediterranean Sea. It doesn't go all the way to Dan and, you know, places north. It doesn't go all the way to Damascus. It doesn't go down into Egypt. It doesn't go anywhere today. And I know if you don't know your geography, you won't know exactly how God is moving this. But in the first verse, it's going to cover this, first and second verse. It's going to cover all these directions. And if you don't know the extent of the land, Israel today is just 1/8 of the land. The Muslims control the others. Isn't that interesting? One of our enemies. And our enemies, not people. We're not talking about people. We're talking about their ideology, their religion, their values, and so on and so forth. And so, no wonder they're killing you. No wonder they're burning up. No wonder they fund the enemy. No wonder that they want to take over America. No wonder that the homosexual agenda is trying to win America. No wonder China wants it. No wonder everything. The enemies are everywhere. So you're the only hope. You're the light of the world. Hallelujah. Once you leave, there's no light. You're the salt of the earth. Then there's no hope. But since this is God's promise to give you this stick of land, this little portion of the earth, it's not the whole earth. But the whole earth is filled with His glory. Amen?
Amen.
So we here in Texas play a key role. It's not so in a lot of the other states. The other states are in trouble also. But we don't have a good governor. We don't have a good Senate. We don't have a good House of Representatives. We have some persons here and there. Every once in a while, something goes right. But the problem is the church. You don't know this. This isn't the scripture. If the church doesn't act like the church, hot, zestos. If it doesn't, the world's in trouble. And so the whole thing is on the church. Now, nobody believes that. I do. I don't care that anyone believes it. I don't care that anyone is my enemy or hates me or despises me. It doesn't bother me a bit. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. So simple little kid can sing that song. They don't even know what it means, but they seem happy in the back seat. Yes, Jesus loves me. And they don't know what they're doing, but they're actually building themselves up in love. Amen. And they maybe like the tune. They don't even know what the words mean. But little kids, God likes little kids.
Amen.
And they're innocent. They don't even know what they're singing. They don't even know the words. But they learned it in Sunday school, and they like that tune. And so that's still true to this day. For the Bible tells me so. They're singing something that they don't even know what it is. But they're right. Unless you become like a little child, you'll not enter into the kingdom of God. You have to be someone who is not smart. You have to be someone who just copies their parent. And since they like the tune, they just sing it. And so little kids are way beyond us.
Yeah.
We're the ones that are behind because we imagine we're running things. You imagine we can control things. So let's say Trump wins the election. They'll challenge it forever. It'll be in the courts. It'll be challenged. There's no way. You're not going to... These are permanent things. The wicked will stay wicked till Jesus comes back. And the righteous will stay righteous. And those are fixed. They're not just like casual. So the wicked are here to stay. So don't imagine you're going to fix up the world. I'm righteous. God has given me an idea. So that doesn't mean anything. That means nothing. Unless the church is the church. And today, this is the book of Revelation. Today, the church is lukewarm. So it's trying to be both Christian and non-Christian at the same time. Especially the young. The young ones today, teenagers, college age. They're ones that are the most foolish because they're just looking for something to do. They're just trying to be, they didn't want to go all the way with Jesus. So they'd rather learn stuff and maybe get a big salary someday, or maybe just turn out to be a criminal and a crook, and that is a lawyer. That is... but we have very few, but we do have some lawyers that are really clean. But they're few and far between. And we do have some pastors that are not lukewarm. I am one. I fear God. If you fear God, it doesn't mean you're afraid. To fear God means pay attention to everything I said. Pay close attention to the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic and so on and so forth. If you don't, you're going to miss it. Because God is saying, this is the last generation. We're at Yahoo! I'm sure God is excited in heaven. He's saying, I have a few. We're a remnant. We're not the main carpet. We're just what's left over. Do you like being the remnant? Do you like being nothing? Yes. Apart from me, you can do
nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. So we're a nothing burger. that's all we are. And if you don't understand that, you're missing the Lord. God wants to be your whole life. Not first, not second, not third. Everything. He's an all-consuming fire. He wants all the sin out of your life. The good work I began in you, I will surely complete. I will surely finish. I will surely, surely, certainly, absolutely, without question. Without your help, by the way. If you help him, he'll cease. If you don't help him, he'll work. If you add anything to Jesus, then you're adding nothing. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hey, God spoke to me. I think I'm going to do this. Well, a lot of those are just good works on man's behalf. Just you trying to help out God and thinking you're going to get a reward or at least a thanks or something. Brother, God loves everybody. God loves everybody. God is not mad at the Girgashites or the Amalekites or the Hittites or the Hivites and so on and so forth. He's not mad at all those six or seven nations. It varies. So sometimes it's seven, sometimes it's six. But He's not angry at the world. For God so loved the world that he gave free gift. You don't pay for gifts. His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall have everlasting life. Eternal life. So it's easy. There's nothing hard about God's word. He came for salvation. The only reason Jesus came was to save us. Period. So he's the Savior. He's the Lord. He's your bridegroom. He's your everything. He's your all in all. Right?
Amen.
Right. So you don't have to apologize to the world that you're a Christian. You don't have to shrink back. This is the time to be bold.
Amen.
But not bold in your own strength. It's not by might, nor by power, saith the Lord. It's by my Spirit. And so, since it's by his Spirit, you just need the Holy Spirit. Not only be born again, but be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, every day, every day, so that you can then be perfected in love, and then you'll be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any stain, blemish, without any anything that you'd be reproved by God. Do you know you can do that by faith? You don't have to actually see it. You can say today, I am the light of the world. Because he said you are the light of the world. If he says you are, then you are. If God says you are, then you are. And don't argue with him. Don't gainsay him. Don't argue against him and think you're going to win. Well, God, that doesn't make sense. He doesn't care about sense. He doesn't care about sense. I didn't understand that. Could you repeat that? And so people are trying to find him by college or by high school or by anything. It's simple. Everything is simple. He came to save you. Why? Because you have sin. Where did you get it? Adam and Eve. They ruined the whole race. The whole human race is full of sin. Did you know everyone is full of, except Nazarenes. They're the only ones. They're all right. Because the Nazarenes believe that you can be perfect in this world. And if you talk to a minister, they'll tell you, don't you ever sin? Never. I love that. That's good. That's funny. But God doesn't agree with that. So you're not going to be perfect until Jesus comes back again. Right? When he comes back again, then he'll finish the work. Why? Because the bride made herself ready. How? She loves the neighbor as herself. Did you know that's the end of the law? The end of the law is not loving God. The end of the law is loving your neighbor. The beginning of it is worship God with all your heart, soul, and strength. So that's the beginning of the law. But you can be witchcrafted after you're born again. And many Christians are witchcrafted. That's why Leo means laity. Leo means laity. That people's justice, DK, justice. So the people's justice is unjust. I'm just telling you. I'm telling you how it is in the world. And so, simul justus et peccator in the Latin means, I'm at the same time a saint, justus, and a sinner, et peccator. I'm both. And so Christians should not be amazed that sometimes you sin. Every once in a while, just a little sin, not like murder or something like that. Just a little bitty sin. And if you do that, don't be surprised that you're not perfect yet. Because you won't be perfected until Jesus comes back again. And as soon as he does, then the work is finished. You remember he said that on the cross? Tetelestai, Greek. Meanings, teta means future. You shall be holy as I'm holy. You shall be. But you already are by faith, but you'll then see it with your own eyes. So when he comes back again, you'll actually see him in the land of the living. You'll see him. Wouldn't it be good if God visited our enemies today and put fear in them? But the church is just a remnant, so it's hard. Because it's not by might nor by power. It's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So You don't need anyone other than yourself. You can do this all by yourself. Karen, you're doing it. A little flaws here and there, but they're just minor. Dee, you're doing it. Why? Because God uses Christians. And he wants you to hear the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you don't, you're in a bad place. If you just hear one flaw, will make it, it's not perfect. If there's a flaw in the church. But Jesus said, the good work I began, I will, without your help, surely complete it. So apparently he doesn't want your help. How many know God doesn't need your help to create the world, to redeem the world, to justify the world, sanctify the world, glorify the world? He doesn't need your help. How many know that if you do less, you'll do more? Because of Jesus. Because Jesus is your partner, and by the way, he wants to marry you. And that's why he's a bridegroom. The bride is so important in the Bible. Every woman is like the bride. But actually, so are we, men. You're going to be the bride of Christ someday, meaning you'll be submitted to Jesus. You'll marry Jesus, and I've never been a bride before. And no man is, even if you're homosexual. So there's no such thing. The world is just crazy today. Don't even pay attention to it. Fret not because of evildoers. They'll have their end. But don't worry about it. God will judge them. Now, do you want to read the 34th chapter? Now, that was just prolegomena. That means just the beginning, introduction. And I live this. I love this. And so everything is going my way all the time. Did you hear what I just said?
Yes.
Everything is going my way. Everybody can say that. Everything is going my way. Why? Because of God's promise. Christianity is not about you keeping your promise. It's about God keeping his promise. And he's responsible. He's obligated himself to do what he said he would do. So whatever God says, I fear it, meaning I pay attention to it. Doesn't mean anything else. So Genesis 34. Are you all there? Always bring your Bible.
Deuteronomy.
Sorry. I'm in Genesis 2. All right. So here's how it starts. And Moses went up from the plain of Moab. Which direction is that if you were in Israel?
East.
So Moab, Moab means, by the way, Moab was produced, how was Moab produced? Remember, the eldest daughter of Lot, the wife turned into a pillar of salt as they were leaving the valley, the well-watered valley. And as they were leaving it, they didn't want to be in Israel, which was a pile of rocks. So imagine Abraham got the pile of rocks and everybody else was in a well-watered valley. That little kid was smart, huh? Lot, he was smart. Hey, isn't that... Okay. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. You go to the right, I'll go to the left. So he didn't have a choice. So he said, okay, I want the well-watered valley, which would be Dallas. Compared to Fort Worth. Did you know there's as much money in Fort Worth as there is in Dallas? Nobody's aware of that. But actually, it's the same. It's just fewer hands in Fort Worth. Few hands. And they control the city with an iron fist. That's why I like living in Fort Worth. So the Bairds and, you know, the Basses and all these kind of people. But we call them the 7th Street Gang. That's where all their buildings are. You can tell who owns the city by looking at the tallest building in town. So, but they're weaklings today. Money doesn't really define you. Jesus does. Money doesn't define you. And so it's the same. And so, but I believe Dallas and Fort Worth will have a revival. Meaning you're dead, but now you become alive. In other words, there's a lot of Christians in this city. A lot. We have probably a lot of bars too. And so on and so forth. And so we have a lot of restaurants. Way more than... Fort Worth used to have like two or three restaurants like worthwhile. But now, because the Mexicans have moved in, we have a lot of them. And so all kinds of things are happening. But nothing like Dallas. So you have a lot of churches. It's a religious city. But the religion could be lukewarm. I'm not talking nonsense. I know. There's a lot of religion. But religion is not a relationship with the living God. So religion won't do it. It is rhetoric. Just talking. But your talk is not equal to your walk. So the walk has to be equal to, then you know Jesus did it. If your walk is like that, then Jesus did that. Amen?
Amen.
So I have high hopes that Dallas-Fort Worth will not at all fall apart, because many prophecies have been prophesied in this city. And many of the businessmen agree to it, and many of the wives of businessmen, they also are part of prayer groups that pray for this city all the time. And but though it probably will start here rather than Fort Worth, because we kind of lag behind. We lag behind Dallas. But Dallas, the problem is, the more roads they build, the more heavy the traffic. And in Fort Worth, you know, we just whiz around, and you know, you can get from one end to the other end easily. But here, I mean, it's packed out, and we notice that. They don't do one of those. They just have a four lane, but it's crowded. If you try to go from Frisco to Dallas, I mean, it's all ganged up. So you could go quicker if you go to Fort Worth through the George Bush or through the 161 or whatever. You can get down quickly. Raul does that. You have to do it from north. You have to go down, and you can quickly get it to Fort Worth. He's often the first one that comes from Dallas every Monday night when we have the elders and deacons and so on and so forth, pastors. We have that every Monday night. And he's one of the first ones, usually. And that's powerful.
That is.
And he comes all the way from Dallas, way north, because he can just come the short way. You have to pay a toll, but it's quick. You can really travel fast. In fact, from Fort Worth, if you go all the standard routes, it takes you quite a while to get here. And then there's traffic and so on and so forth. But you just zip up that thing or zip down, whoosh, you're right there. You can even speed. No, you're not supposed to speed. But there's nobody on the road often. So, did you know 1,000 people just in Dallas-Fort Worth move in every day? That's a lot of people. And that's been going on for years and years. Ever since, not long before COVID. It's been going on because they don't want to live in California. And they can get a big house here. And over there, they can have a little bitty house, and it costs $1 million or $2 million or whatever. And it's just a little bitty housing thing. But you can go to L.A., you can go all these places, Orange County and so on and so forth. Nicer homes there. Republicans live there, by the way. And they're the ones causing the problems because it's a Democrat city. And so all the bad stuff. But they'll oppose it. So pray for California.
Amen.
It could be the richest state in the United States. New York could be also, because of lots of people. But because of bad policies, and I hope they don't come here.
That's right.
Because the Yankees are moving down.
I know.
Las Vegas, you know, selling all their, you know, slot machines and moving south. And so, how many know that God is in control? Total. Control. Total. 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 So, let's convert them when they come.
Amen.
It's not over until won't say what. But anyway, it's not over until it's over. And so God has plans for everything on earth to flourish. But that could be a while before you all see it. So in the end, Israel will be the most fruitful land on all the earth. Israel. The whole of Israel. All the water will not be salt water anymore. Did you know that? It'll actually be, you can read it in the Bible. It'll actually be, all the water will be desalted by God, and fish will flourish. Every lake, every river, every stream, everywhere. And all the land will be fruitful beyond measure, like nowhere else on earth. But that's part of the new heaven and new earth, which hasn't yet happened. So it's in the future. So don't worry, Israel has a bright future. And I've gone there, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 times, I don't know how many times. But I take groups with me and so on. And I love to go to where Jesus, midway through his ministry, he started teaching at Dan, which is the farthest north in Israel. And it's right where the Jordan River starts out of the mountain. And there's three streams that feed that Jordan River. And they're rushing out of that mountain, Mount Hermon. And up there, Jesus said these words. I will build my church. I'll build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against her. Or him. Right? So if the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of God that Jesus builds, then you're in good shape. You couldn't be better. You couldn't be better. So be happy being a remnant. Don't be unhappy with that. Because if you're nothing, then he's everything. Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The earth belongs to God. The devil has never taken the earth. The devil has never taken the earth. Because God made it. And it's his earth. And so the devil can never, ever, 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 until it becomes a new heaven and a new earth. And that'll happen too. So we're not there right now. Okay, so here's how it starts out. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab down. He was down near the water where John the Baptist started his Baptist ministry. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab to the east of the Jordan River unto the mountain of Nebo. Now, Nebo means height. Nebo means height. To the top of Pisgah, that means... Pisgah actually means... the tallest of all. It's the toppermost of the top. So from that point of view, and this is where Moses will be buried. He's going to be buried on Mount Nebo, the height. But he can see all the way north, all the way west, all the way east, all the way south from that point of view. So he can see the whole land. Why? Because the whole land was Abraham's land. And when Abraham first came to that spot, I will show you the land that I promised to you, the Canaan land. I'm going to show it to you. I won't just give you a map. I'm going to take you there. And then I'll give you that land. Has God ever kept that promise? No, there's no way. He hasn't kept that promise. How many know that a promise takes time? If you have a promissory note, that means it has time to it. If I sell you my watch today, and you buy my watch for $1, well, then it's over. There's no promise. But if I say, tomorrow I'm going to give you the dollar today, but tomorrow I want you to deliver it, then that's a promise. That's a promissory note. And it can be for years and years and years, or thousands of years. In God's case, thousands of years have passed. In fact, he promised it not only in time, he promised it in eternity, that this land will go to Egypt because the earth is the Lord's. The earth belongs to God. It doesn't belong to people. What about all the Muslims that are surrounding? 7/8 of the whole country was not given to Israel. Only 1/8. The 1/8, they even resented the 1/8. Israel gets to have this little bitty spot. But Israel is flourishing on the 1/8. And it has to help all the other 7/8 around it. How many know that God is smart? And he knows whatever he favors, which is us, whatever he blesses, which is us, he knows that whatever he blesses and favors, he can't change his mind. So he has favored you, and he won't stop. No. He just keeps going. Wow. Why? Why does he do it? I don't know. Because he's good. Because he's gracious. Because he's merciful. So he forgets all your sin. Jesus died on the cross for that. But he did that before the foundation of the earth when he was slain. So he was ready then to show up 4,000 years later on earth. Now I've taught you that there's only 6,000 years since creation. And now we're in the 7,000th year. But it's not time yet. Otherwise, Jesus will be back. But it has to be on the third day. But it's the third, and I'd have to explain this to you, but because it began with his birth, and then that was 2,000 years ago, and then this is the third day. And he's going to show up on the third day. He always shows up on the third day. Resurrection always takes place on the third day. On anything. So wouldn't this be a good time for God to resurrect Texas and resurrect the Republican Party that is a party of laws? God's law. But you know, there's no law in heaven, so Moses has to die. He's the lawgiver. Laws have to die. You know why? Because there's no laws in heaven. So unless you have the law dying, you won't have its. And the only thing it can do is make you guilty. The only thing that the law does is make you guilty. The only purpose of the law is to make you not innocent. Did you know nobody's perfect on earth? Nobody, 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 nobody. But little kids don't know that, so they think their parents are perfect until they get to be about two-ish. And they realize, uh-oh, the parent's going to oppose me. And our little daughter is almost two. But, huh?
Granddaughter.
No, I said, yeah, granddaughter. 11 grandchildren. So, she's almost two, and so she has a mind of her own. And, you know, it's kind of fun to watch her grow and learn words. Like, what was the first word she learned? It's some vegetable.
It wasn't the first word, but it's a word.
Yeah, well, no, she had little bitty words, but like bye-bye and all that kind of stuff.
Broccoli.
That's a big word for a two-year-old, but she can always say broccoli. I don't know, because the parents are constantly giving her all these words. So she likes using words, but the biggest word will be no. That would be the biggest word. Because she's heard that saying, no, you don't eat that. Pick that. Give me that. So she's learning to know. She said, I'm going to grow up someday and use the word no. You go to bed right now, I'm going to spank you. No. No. I'm going to spank you. Well, how come my sister's staying up? She's 21. Oh. But that doesn't mean anything to a child because they want their way and they want to stay up. That's where all the noise is coming from and all the interesting things. I don't want to go to bed right now. And so little kids, when they learn that, they're like Adam and Eve. You know, they can say no to God. So they didn't have any fear of God, did they? They immediately got the fruit, the apple, or whatever it was, and they ate it. And then she gave to her husband, who didn't even think about it, he just ate it. That's funny. And so she sinned, and he could have left it at that, but he was right there. Hey, you look good to me, so I don't think you're dead. The day you eat thereof, let's lay 24 hours and see if you look good to me still. So she gave it to him. We're not sure when she gave it to him, but I'm sure they waited it out. I'm sure they had a sundial or something to watch. And since she looked good to him, he went by his eyes. How many know that you can't go by your eyes? Everything in Christianity is not seeable. Faith means not seen. Faith means not seen. If you have faith in something, you're dead. Every time you have faith, your ego can't do anything because you have faith in Jesus. You don't have faith in yourself. How many know that today too many people are proud and self-confident? And the world teaches you that. The world trains you that. Culture, all cultures are like that. So the Muslims think they're right, we think we're right, and everybody thinks they're right, and so on and so forth. Okay. So you have enemies, but don't take care of your enemies. If they ask you for the hope that's in you, yeah, share it. Share it. Before they chop your head off, share it. Because they don't believe Christians are Christian. They believe you're hypocrites and liars. And so all of that is part of history. But they're just destroying themselves today. I all this burning is just, in the end, they're going to go in the lake of fire. They're just anticipating it, and they're so rageful. They're so angry at we who are, you know, holy, Bible reading. You know, so they hate that. So they're trying to destroy everything that you've built up. And so they're just doing it on Trump after 3.5 years, 4 years. And they're just doing it. I hate that guy. And they're sure he's got a sin somewhere. It's like Job's friends. If you just confess your sin, God will reward you again. And so Job, no. I don't think my sin caused all this. I don't know what did. I wish God would come down. How many know you can't make God come down? And yet, he did come down. Exactly as Job said. I wish like he'd be a people and come down and I could talk to him and say, what sin did I do? I'd be glad to confess it. I'm sure I've done some sin, but what did I do? I think I overdid it. I don't think I underdid it. I think, you know, when my sons, I every day we'd have a party somewhere and I'd throw a party and then blah, blah, blah. And maybe, okay, I might have overdone it. How many know Christians can overdo it? You can do it because you think, well, God gave me this idea. How do you know it was God? How do you know it was God? That was Luther's father. Because Luther, when he was young, the father said, our boy seems to be very smart, so let's make him a lawyer. And if you studied and you want to be a doctor or a lawyer or a pastor, all three were the same curriculum. And so you could go in any direction. So he seems to be smart, and he's doing well in Latin. He's sharp. And so, but then one day he went through this storm in the Thuringia forest in Saxony on his way home from school. And he on his way home, a lightning struck a tree. Boom! He just fell on the ground. And all of a sudden, because that tree is going to fall on him. It's going to fall on him. And he just fell in the mud. And he said, "Help, St. Anne, I'll become a monk." That was the quickest way that you could please God, to become a monk or a nun, you know, or someone spiritual. Now you got it made. But then after the dad, he told the dad, "What are you doing?" I'm a monk now at Erfurt. And I'm an Augustinian monk. How do you know you heard God? Maybe you heard the devil. Honor your father and mother. What do you think about that? Honor your father and mother. You support us in our old age. Now here, you're not a scholar, and you had brains and so on and so forth. Now you're brainless. You're just going to be a monk? Feeding your own belly? What are you doing? And so Luther said, "God spoke to me." And so whether he did or not, it's not important. What is important is then he realized, because he bothered the head of the monastery, he bothered him so much, Dr. Staupitz. He said to him, "Luther, I've decided, since you come in with all these picadillos every day, I didn't do this and I didn't do that." "Well, that's what the rules say in the Catholic Church. It has to be oratio. Oratio means orally. Confess all your sins orally to the priest." So he'd go in maybe 2 hours, and then maybe sometimes it'd be 5 or 6 hours. Keep thinking of something, and he'd walk out and think, "You're being proud right now that you said everything. Go back." And so he'd go back again. He said, "When you make a real sin, come back. These are just picadillos. They're not anything." And so Luther became an over-scrupulous, conscientious person. Does anybody here have an over-scrupulous conscience?
Yeah.
And so you're going to be miserable, because the conscience will bother you until you do it exactly right. That's called legalism. Okay, so anyway, a lot of Christians are like that. They just want to do it exactly right. Because you're under a law instead of under grace. When you're under grace, then you don't do anything, because you realize you can't do anything, and you can't do what you can't do. You can only do what you can do, which is sin. Isn't that awful? All have sinned, the Bible says. Since all have sinned, I guess I'm part of the all. And since all have sinned, even pastors. So, there's no one exempt. Even if I became a monk or a nun, it wouldn't help me. Can't become a nun. But anyway, people are trying to figure God out. It's just plain in the Bible. Everything is built on a promise that he gave to Abraham 2,000 years into the foundation of the earth. And he made a promise, God made a promise to Abraham, saying, "I will show you the land. I'll make your name great. I'll make a nation out of you. And if anyone curses you, I'll curse them. If anyone blesses you, I'll bless them. And if anyone, and all the families of the earth, you're going to bless Shem, Ham, and Japheth." So everybody today is born of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Period. Period. So however you're born to die. And you're born to die so you can be resurrected. So you're born to die, to resurrect. And if you don't follow that pattern, you've missed the whole atonement. You've missed the whole way to be right with God, peace with God. So you're born again. You're born of the Spirit, right? But now you can be witchcrafted. You began in the Spirit and you're ending in the flesh? No, you don't want to do that. So you have to be a disciple. And a disciple, when he's fully taught, will be like the master. Spirit, soul, and body. And so now you have a new heart, but you don't have a new soul, and therefore the body responds to the old soul. And so you're soulish. And soulishness won't please God because it's not perfect. So you need a new spirit and a new heart and a new soul and a new body walk. How many know only God can do that? Only God can do that. Only God. Only God. If he gave you the old heart, he can give you a new heart. If he gave you the new heart, he can give you a new soul. If he gave you a new soul, he can give you a new walk. So everything is Jesus, 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 Jesus. So Yeshua, Yeshua, Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus, the Messiah of Israel. He's everything in the Bible from beginning to end. Okay, so here's what happens. Verse 2. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. In other words, he could see far north. So now he's east. That's where he's going to be buried, into Moab. And then he's going to go north into Dan. And this is also north, Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the uttermost sea. That's in the west. That's all the way. That's the Mediterranean Sea. And the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar, which is toward Egypt to the south. So now he went north first of all, then west next, and then so he was east. He started out in the east because this is where he's going to see it all. Then he went north, then he went west. Now he's going south. So all of this land was given to Abraham all the way to the Euphrates River. That's the land that he saw. And it has to be. That is the land that Abraham saw. And then all the way to the north up to Damascus. And all the way to the west to the Mediterranean Sea. That's the stopping point in the west. And then south all the way to Egypt. All of that will be Abraham's land. And my friend Robert, who's the son of the king in Zimbabwe, a prince, he believes that it goes all the way down to Zimbabwe, where all the gold is. And it could be, because the gold of Ophir, O-P-H-I-R, is the finest gold in the world. And Robert's father, who lived to be 103 or 104 or 105, somewhere in there, he said to him, all the gold is yours from Zimbabwe. By the way, these are what called King Solomon's mines. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
Well, these are the mines. And so on. So they're not where they think they are. But anyway, so all of that gold, which is now in the hands of the Rothschilds, is Robert's gold. So isn't that funny? And so, and not only that, because Robert's relative is Solomon. So Solomon married Makeda, M-A-K-E-D-A. Makeda, and they had a son, and his Hebrew name was David, after King David, because that was his grandfather. And then Menelech, M-E-N-E. L-I-K. Menelech, meaning Menes, is actually Nimrod's name. So his kingship goes all the way back to Nimrod, who's the first emperor of the world. And so all of his relatives are all black imperial. First one. That's the first one in the whole world. And now, and then he goes all the way back through Solomon, the son, which is, remember he married then the Hittite's wife, Uriah. He married his wife. And then this is Bathsheba, another one for the grandfather. And so it's all mixed up. And so now he's a black king and a Jewish king. And Netanyahu told him that when he was in Israel. Netanyahu say, you don't even know who you are. No, my father is the king of Zimbabwe. But he, no, that's just one. But he married a black woman from Sheba. And because of that, Makeda was his wife and had a son called David. And now he had to learn Hebrew. And so all these black people learned Hebrew. And when they came to America, some were from that region. And they spoke Hebrew. And maybe even Greek. And so Roberts found all of his relatives. He lives right here. And all of his relatives, they're from royal. But you know what? I'm royal too. Did you know that? That all of you are priest kings? All of you are priest kings. Do you know that? The book of Revelation. So since you're all priest kings, everything's going your way. And so he can be all those kind of kings, but I'm a king, king, priest, just like he is. So that's funny. Don't you think that's funny?
Yeah.
So, and the Lord said to him, this is the land, which I swear to Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, saying, I will give it to your seed. So he didn't say, not only seed, small s, Jewish blood. He said seed, meaning Jesus Christ, who is unusual because he came in a different way. And that was through Mary. But so everything is coming down to us, and I pay close attention to everything I read in here and then study it. So I want to understand all this. So everything that he gave to Abraham is that he's going to bless the whole world. So the whole world, I mean, everybody's potential to be a Christian. Did you know every day everybody will bow and every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord? So there'll be no more Muslim religion. There'll be no more Catholic. There'll be no more Jewish. There'll be no more anything except the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the only ones that are going to make it to heaven will be those people. Karen, you're part of that. So you're a royal priest. Male, female, doesn't make any difference. And you're a royal priest, Dan. And you shouldn't be, but you are. Because you had nothing to do with it. How many know you had nothing to do with your salvation? And so you're not finished yet. Did you know you can't be finished until you're finished? And then you'll know it. And then it says right here, saying, I will give unto this, to your seed, all the land that Abraham got. But that's just physical seed on the earth. That's not seed on the heaven. It's capital S, Jesus. I have caused you to see it with your eyes, but you shall not go thither. In other words, you cannot cross over the Jordan River. So the law has to die so Jesus can live. And Jesus is Yeshua or Joshua. Joshua is the same as Jesus. Did you know that? So this Hebrew word, Yeshua, is actually Joshua. And he's actually the Messiah of Israel. Wow. So now God is telling you weird stuff, and it's weird because nobody can read what I just said and think that, who is that? What is that? So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab according to the word of the Lord. Everything has to be according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him. He, God, buried Moses in Moab. On top of the Pisgah, which is on top of Nebo, a mountain, tallest mountain, high. But then this is the peak. This is the peak of it. That's Pisgah. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Beth Beit, which means house of opening, Peor, house of opening. But no man knoweth of the sepulcher unto this day. In other words, you can't find that grave because God hides it. How many know if God hides something, it's kind of hard to find it? If he because he knows all the hiding places. And so he just said, I'm going to bury him here, and it's going to be there. So nobody's ever found his grave, and you cannot, because God hid it. And when God wants to reveal it, because all things will come out later, right? Not now, but all things will come out later. And God doesn't want it to be too easy, because everybody would believe in the Bible. So now he wrote the Bible in such a way that the bad guys read it and can't understand it. I used to read it and I think, how could a good God like sinners? I mean, all the other gods hate sinners. If you sin against Buddha, he doesn't like it. If you don't go the eightfold way, you know, seven? No, that's not enough. You have to go eightfold. And so all the other gods want you to behave. They're into behavioral modification. The school system. America's school system today is not the Bible. The judges don't rule from the Bible. Nothing is done in America like the founders wanted it to be. Even Franklin and Jefferson, even they actually knew about God, and they actually were afraid to make any laws that went against God's law. So Christians were set free in America. This is the first nation that ever built on the Bible. Does that mean we're following it? No. We've gotten used to it. We've gotten accustomed to it. And we just kind of assume it's there. But the Democrats want to eliminate it. They've tried every time to bring up, I move that blah, blah, blah. And no more mention of God. Certainly Jesus. Don't mention that one. Because we can't have a national religion. And so on. So they're trying to use the law to defeat the law. Right? Anyway, don't worry about it. What's wrong with wicked people? They're half of the earth. Maybe they're three-fourths of the earth. Maybe they're seven-eighths of the earth. I mean, I don't know how many are on the other side. But it could be they're just a minority, just of Canaanites. And he could then answer my prayer from yesterday, is let these enemies of ours, let them be defeated by the fear of God that enters, though, so that when you go through, they just kind of crumble. So they think they're going to win, and we think we're going to win. And I know Trump has a lot of black people now, and Hispanic people, and Asian people, and women, and so on and so forth. So, oh, wow, they don't know how it's going to turn out. They don't know any more than we know. They're guessing, we're guessing. So let's say we win. Yeah, they'll have lawsuits forever. You're never going to ever satisfy the other side because you can't win them over and they can't win us over, right? They can't win us either because we're just as determined. Especially the rare remnant people that love God with all their heart and soul and strength and love their neighbor as themselves. Do you know that's who you are? That's a description of you, not a prescription. A description, not a prescription. A description. And that's who you are in Christ. That's who Christ is in you. So it's a relationship. We don't have a religion. We have a relationship with Jesus. Next verse. We're almost done. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. That's a long time. And his eye was not dim. Golly, my eyes can't see for anything. And his natural force abated. In other words, he was healthy when he died. And he's 120 celebrating your birthday, and you die on your birthday. Oh my. That's amazing. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, so that days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Wow. So after the 30 days, he's not only dead, he's really dead. He's really dead, dead. So there's no hope. What about the law? Jesus said, no, there's no law in heaven. So there's no law on earth. There's only a promise. So all the laws turn into promises because Moses is dead. because he's dead, the law is dead. Because there is no law. Because according to the Hebrews, 7th chapter, the 19th verse, it says, law makes nothing. How many know the word nothing means nothing? It's like nothing. Makes nothing perfect. So if you can't be made perfect by a law, could you be made perfect by a promise? That Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Is that true? Because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Since he's the perfect sacrifice, everything he does is everlasting. Amen. Wow, I can't do anything everlasting. I can't. I've started many things and I've not accomplished hardly anything. Except here in Dallas. Because we have Cynthia. And we have Raul. We have Julia. And we have Dee. And we have another Cynthia. And we have... Wow. So this is powerful. That's powerful. Yeah. Do you realize if you could just save one, that would be powerful. What if you could save two or four? God says that's heaven on earth. Because God's behind everything. He does everything. So come sweet death. And Joshua, the law has to die so that Joshua can live forever. The son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom means seeing everything from God's point of view. You have to ask the Lord for that every day. Lord, I need some wisdom today so I don't do foolishly. I want to do wisely. Show me what you're looking at. Show me what you're saying. For Moses had laid his hands upon Joshua, and the children of Israel hearkened to him, Joshua, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. You remember when Moses gave the Ten Commandments the next day, he said to him, by the way, I know you Jews, you're stubborn and stiff-necked. You're stubborn. I mean, I can't teach you. I'm trying to teach you the gospel of Jesus Christ and you don't seem to want it. You seem to want to be God rather than be like God. Well, everybody wants to be like God. I mean, why is Moses so surprised? Even Moses one time struck the rock twice at Meribah. So he sinned. So that's why he can't go into the promised land, because he sinned. If you're a lawman, should you be sinning? We have policemen like that. We have judges like that. We have people that can be bought off. I know lots of examples, real examples that I've seen. And so even good Republicans can sin. I'm amazed. I won't name them. I've seen it. And so anybody can be corrupted by a bribe. But thank God, Alex, you can't be bribed. Could you? The answer is no. Yeah. Always when you're accused, always say no. Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus keeping his promise and the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. Well, so you don't have to worry about that. You can already speak into the future. It's like a promise. And I can count on that promise. And if I count on that promise, then he's obligated to keep his promise. So if he says something, I believe it. All I have to do is see it in the Bible. I believe it. Yeah, homosexuality, it's not in the Bible. It's there as a sin. It's an abomination to God. So I'm not into that. And divorce, I'm not into that. I'm not into anything the Bible's against. I'm just like God. Why? Wow, because he's killed me. So when you're a Christian, you have to die to this world and be alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel of the kingdom. That's the mark. If they did everything commanded by Moses to serve Joshua, last couple verses, and there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. In other words, he knew the law face to face with Moses. In all the signs, wonders, which the Lord sent to him, there's only one verse left after this, to do in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh, to all his servants, and to all his land, which I just showed you, and in all that mighty hand, last verse, and in all that great terror which Moses showed in the sight of Israel. Period. So, if there's no law in heaven, what can law do on the earth? The only thing it can do is make you guilty. The only thing it can do is make you say you still have some sin left. How many know you still have, you're not perfect yet? How many can you say, I'm perfect now? Well, you can say it by faith, but you can't say it by sight. But someday when he comes back, you'll see it in the land of the living, as Job said, though worms destroy this body, yet with mine eyes I shall see the true and living God. So he'll see it. And someday you'll see it. But not today. Not today. You have to do it by faith. By faith, by faith. By faith alone. Sola fide. Sola gratia. Soli fide. Solus Christus. Soli Deo Gloria. 320 years ago, that was introduced before we became a republic of laws in 1836 in Texas. So, 1516, Martin Luther read in the Greek Bible, and a act in Latin is not the same as a change of heart in Greek. I venture to say, he said, that those who have more faith in an act in Latin than in a change of heart in Greek. In other words, Jesus Christ gave you a new heart. But it doesn't show up in the Latin. Penitentium agite means do penance, as the Catholic Church has prescribed. But we are described in the Bible, which says, you're a new creation. You're a brand new man. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Perfect tense, perfect tense. Perfect past, perfect present. So since that's the case, I have a perfect future. Because Jesus said, the good work I began, I will surely complete. So I'm happy all the time. Raul, are you happy all the time? Yeah, that's by faith. You know, you don't have to see it. Just believing is seeing. Not seeing is believing. Peg, you have a bright future. By what you did? No. By what he did for you, in you, through you. Dan? Perfect. 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 Why? Because even though you didn't do it perfectly, he loved you perfectly. It covers all the sin. Did you know that? Did you know that even though your past is full of wickedness, in God's sight, the way he measures it. In other words, everything you do because of sin is going to be tainted. It's going to be marred. It's not going to be according to the gospel. So don't do the works of the law. To him that worketh not, Romans 4:5. To him that worketh not, but believeth. But on the contrary, believeth on him who justifies the ungodly, to that one, God, he counts that as righteous. So, righteousness is actually having faith in Jesus to finish what he started. And he can do it. And he is doing it. I hope you're blessed today. When the law dies, when you're no longer under a law, but when you're under grace, then grace finishes it off. Only grace. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. So because of our faith in his grace, because he's good and loves me without condition. That's my hope. So we have a new hope in us. I wish I could read to you, and you can write this down. Matthew 17, verse 2 and following. I'd read the whole thing. It's all about the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember, on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was there, even though he died in Nebo. He showed up. He showed up right in the same area we're talking about. In the lower part, there's a mountain across the highway that goes all up to Jerusalem. And that part is the Mountain of Transfiguration. And if you read also in Mark, you'll see it's also there. I think in verse 5, chapter 5. Anyway, it's the same thing. It's the Mount of Transfiguration. And it tells you everything there that you'd want to know about the meaning of these verses right here in the last part of Deuteronomy. It's showing you that God wanted Israel to inherit the land before Jesus comes down. Israel also will inherit the land. And you Gentiles will also inherit the land. Only we do it as Christians. And they do it as under King David, who, when he's resurrected, will be king over Israel, and all the Gentiles will be under the king that survived being in the lake of fire, because everybody else will be in the lake of fire, even the Antichrist and the false prophet, because they together killed off the whore of Babylon. So I know you don't understand it, but buy the tape. I mean, it's a good tape. Is everything here is summed up. When the law dies, you live by faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's have a testimony. Pastor, I think I heard a little bit God. I think I heard a little bit God. Karen.
I thank you so much for giving us some hope and some insight into this troubling time with elections coming up.
Right.
It's very easy to fall into
right.
the human experience.
Right.
But your words from God said, let me go forward
right.
and do it.
Right.
Let me go forward
yes.
and slay your enemies.
I love it. Powerful. Powerful. That's powerful understanding. Who else? Who else? You can just make it up. And anything you make up, make sure it agrees with the Bible. You'll be right.
Kim?
Yes, Mom?
I was thinking that
none of the religions
believe in homosexuality.
Believe in homosexuality.
Right. None of them.
That's true. Officially in their documents.
They
and
don't believe in it.
Yeah, they don't believe in it, but they all practice it.
So the world is going against all religions.
Right.
And then I thought, so because they're not believing, even Muslim, whoever, they're going against God.
Right.
In all religions, even though
right.
they're false.
Yeah.
But then I also thought that our God is the only one that provides, our God, the real God.
Right.
Provides a sacrifice for sin.
Right.
You said that.
And right.
The others do not. They make you... They claim that you have to do it or whatever.
Right.
But our God is the only one that sacrifices.
Right.
The real God is the one that
sacrifices. Yeah. Right.
For us.
Muslims are everywhere. They're all over America. Homosexuality is everywhere. They pay you off. They pay off the governments. They pay off the mayor. They pay off the DA. They pay off everybody. This is firsthand knowledge, not second. And so I know that in Dallas-Fort Worth, we're loaded with enemies. Not only this one and that one, Antifa and, you know, all this stuff. You cannot win by winning. You have to pray to God to put fear in the enemy. And he will, because that's his program. His program is to win. He never loses. Never. All right. In the night in which our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, took bread, bread from heaven. He took bread and blessed it, gave thanks for it, and said, "Take, eat. This is my nourishment, my manna from heaven. Do this in remembrance of my death. Let us now partake of the bread of life." And in the same manner, he also took the cup. And when he had given thanks, and he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. For this is the new covenant, the new testament, in my blood, which is shed for you and for many," were the many, "for the forgiveness of sins. Let us now partake of the cup." Now this is not just ordinary bread, because God has put his word to it. Otherwise it's ordinary bread or Mogan David, whatever it is. Whatever it is, the word is what matters, not your faith in what kind of wine it is and what kind of wafer it is. The point is, it's his word that we have faith in, that he cannot lie. And if he says, do this, then every time we gather together, could be every Sunday, every Lord's Day, then he fills us with supernatural drink and fruit by faith, totally promised. But someday, when he comes back again, we will see him with our eyes, and we will love one another with our eyes, and every knee will bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, Bridegroom, Savior, our all in all. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen.
God is good, Raul.
There was one more thing I wanted to say is it's a blessing to not only come to the congregation to meet with everybody, but also to walk in the Spirit with the Lord. Because we were just talking about that this morning. Like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Are we going to fly off the... are we going to float on water? What does this mean? And as we were discussing it, I believe God was just opening up kind of the scriptures, which is you're walking in God's love. When you talk about walking in the Spirit, you're actually walking, understanding
right.
that God loves you, and
right.
He's not against you.
Right.
And that's the core of that walking in the Spirit, because then everything else
right.
grows from there.
Powerful.
Because we were like, well, what does this mean? What does walking in the Spirit mean? We said,
right.
walk in the power of the Spirit, what does that mean?
Right.
It's walking, knowing God loves you.
Yeah.
And then he's for you. And then everything else goes.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you.
That's so powerful. And I'm glad you talk about the Word of God in your life, because it's all you have. Believe it or not, everything you see is worthless. Worthless. Everything that man does is worthless. Everything man does is vain. It's rageful. It's warlike. And the Democratic Party is actually destroying itself today, whether you know it or not. It's doing everything against God, thinking he's nothing, but he actually is something. And so it may well be that God out of heaven will send fire on the earth and destroy all their plans. Billions and billions and billions of dollars won't win the election. Even Trump's using his own money won't win the election. Even if he gets more votes, won't win the election. It's only that God acts on our behalf. That's the only hope you have. Thus saith the Lord. That's powerful. So hear what the Holy Spirit's saying. He's saying the best is yet to come. Don't worry. Nothing to fret about. Nothing to worry about. Don't be stressed about it. Don't be anxious. Don't be nervous. Don't be depressed. Be happy. Why? Because God wants you to be happy. Not about what man hath done. Not about what you have done. Happy about what he has said and done for us, in us, and through us. So, the best has been saved to the last. Amen?
Amen.
Yoo-hoo! You're free forever. It's not just in this world. It's in the world to come. Forever and ever. But only God can do that. There's no way that you can help him. You can just be happy. You get all the blessing, he gets all the burden. And he's not going to change that. That is an ironclad law. So he's released you, he's loosed your cords, he's loosed the, chopped everything off. The enemy wants to do it to be free to sin. But God wants to do it so that you never sin. And he counts that as righteous because you believe that Jesus did it all for you. Whatever he did, you did. Whatever he did, you did. If he died, you died. If he was buried, you were buried. If he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. So don't think that's in the past. It's actually perfect. So it's in the future as well. So, bless yourself every day when you wake up. Thank God that I, whatever I am, whatever my circumstances say, it's not the truth. The truth is what you said. You love us and you want to marry us. If he wants to marry you, you have a future. Because it hasn't happened yet. You're betrothed to him, but you haven't yet consummated the marriage. And when he comes back a second time, he'll consummate the marriage. And they'll actually be, he's already betrothed to us. Because we're the bridegroom, bride. And then the bridegroom has the bride, and that's all he needed. When he got that, then he went to heaven. But now he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then you'll see the true government of God. And you can do that today because you're born of the Spirit. So everything you do is to look for the hidden things in the Old Testament, same as the hidden things in the New Testament. Same. You need the Holy Spirit to interpret them. God is good.
Hallelujah.
Meet our friends if you haven't met them before. And it's a blessing always to see that God continues to keep his word. And it ain't over yet. It's not over yet. It's just the best days have been ahead. You haven't even seen the new heaven and the earth. You haven't even seen the judgment. You haven't seen anything. But it'll work. And all the bad guys will never, ever, ever, ever rule again. Never. The second he comes back, it's over. They'll never on earth have any power. Everyone is going to know it. Because they'll see him on the white horse. And when they say, and this is happening, when they see him on the white horse, they went, uh-oh. Maybe the Bible was right on that one. Uh-oh. And they'll realize being a Buddhist didn't help. And when they see all the Old Testament saints, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and so on and so forth, and when they see all the New Testament saints, and when they see the church history saints, and when they see saints still being born again today on this earth, they'll be amazed. Uh-oh, Jesus is Lord. I think Buddhism doesn't work. I don't think Confucianism doesn't work. They're here in Dallas. They're here all over. They have all their schools. And it's just simply morals. Morality is man-made. Man at his best state is altogether
vanity.
Nothing. So what are the Democrats doing today? Selling, we think what we're doing is right. It's just morals. But it's man-made. It's not virtue. Spiritual virtue is different than man-made morals. Did you hear what I just said? Because it's a gift from God, and you don't pay for it. It's just the Holy Spirit operating in you.
Amen.
So, the best has been saved to the last. So, all the finest things are still ahead. I thought Jesus dying was a big one. Yeah, that was a foundation. But you can build on a foundation and not build the house. But he's now building his house. And Jesus promised that. I will build my house. I will build my church. Mine. Meaning, I've been entrusted by God because I'm son of man. Because I'm also son of God. Making it perfect. So that, then, you'll be perfected in love.
Amen.
And then when you have love, faith and hope are gone. Once you have love, God's love, in you, working through you, men will see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven, because they'll know you must be a child of God. It's what they saw in Joseph. That's what they saw in all of the Old Testament saints. And those prophets, Joseph, all of that is going to come to pass, just like God said. But a lot of it is the past, but the future is open. But it's going to be exactly what he said. Exactly. Everyone is going to be shocked when God begins to have vengeance for the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. Vengeance for the wicked, but deliverance for the righteous. That's it. That's how it all ends. And then new heaven and a new earth. We'll have 1,000 years shortened. About 1,000 years on earth, and you'll see the kingdom of God, truly what God intended if Israel had obeyed. Because Jesus then will be Lord over everything. And King David will rule on earth and will be raptured up into heaven. We won't be here anymore. You meet him in the air, you're never going to go back to this earth. You'll become back when it's a new heaven and a new earth. It'll all be different than what it is now. Perfect. So I'm happy all the time. Can't make me sad. You're oblivious to the news, right? You don't believe the pundits and so on and so forth. Everything is going our way. So, since you have confidence, you make better decisions. That Jesus can't lie. Woo! Glory to God.
Amen.
All right.